Well, good morning, VC. It's great to see you. I have to say, for a July morning, you guys are very energetic, and that's great. I'm so glad. Maybe you realize this morning we're ascending the hill of the Lord, amen? When we worship, we're meeting with God, and so you guys came today ready to roll, and I love it. It's great to have you all. For those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the privilege of speaking this morning. And I'm just going to warn you right now, we are going to go fast today, okay? Buckle in, get your jackets on. We are just going to, you know, buckle up. We are going to move fast because I'm really excited about today, okay? Before we get started, though, there is one thing I need to do. A few weeks ago, you know, our incredible senior pastor, Brian Anderson, they're on a much-deserved and much-needed rest, and they're having a great time right now. Actually, we checked in with them, and they're doing very well. But a few weeks ago, before he left, in his message, he showed a picture of me and Pastor Tom Quaid, allegedly, with Oprah Winfrey. Now, here's the thing. I actually would love to hang out with Oprah. I think that would be cool. Like, I think Oprah needs Jesus too, right? That's no problem. I think she does good films, so I'm okay with that. However, it is my turn. I have it on good authority this morning that one of Brian's, I'm going to out him right now. You know, he's mild-mannered. You know, he's a math teacher by trade, you know, before his ascension to being our senior pastor. But one of the things he loves to do on vacation is visit Comic-Con dressed as his favorite superhero. So I found this photo and I share it with you all today. Yeah. Thor tells me he walks around the house like this, you know, our mild-mannered. Photoshop's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Well, hopefully I will have a job when he returns, but they're doing well. They will be back with us in a couple weeks, and it's fun to have a little fun, isn't it? Hey, before we go any further, we're going to receive our offering, and we're going to kind of try to redeem this moment, and I'd like to pray for the offering. So if our ushers would come forward, and would you join me as we pray for the offering as well as pray for the teaching this morning? God, we thank you for being here today. It is a gift and a privilege to be in your house, to meet with you. And so we don't take that lightly. And now we do our best to honor you and worship you with our finances. Father, we want so desperately to be free and to be generous people. And so take what we give right now. I pray that you would bless it, that you would bless our hearts as we faithfully give to you. And I pray that you would take what we give and continue to use it to minister powerfully, not only in this valley, but around the world. And I pray for the teaching this morning. I pray that you would bring faith right now. I pray for the gift of faith as we talk about healing this morning. God, would you empower and anoint me and all of your people this morning? And we pray these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Hey, it's great to see you again. And I said, we're going to go fast, okay? So buckle up. It's great to have you. For the last few weeks, we have started a series called Hashtag Values, where we've been doing our best to look at some of the things that are really important to us. If you're new to the Vineyard, what we wanted to do is tell you, what are the kinds of things that make us tick? What are the kinds of things that we feel are very essential to being the kind of church that Jesus calls us to be? And so a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the value of meeting with God, right? And we said that the priority of worship then sits upon that value. And we know that when we worship, we get to encounter the presence of God. And then last week, our resident cat and dog theologian, Mario, Pastor Mario, if you were here, you know what I'm talking about. He talked about another core belief that we have here, that everyone gets to play. That as followers of Jesus, see, here's the deal. God is involved. We are compelled and convinced that God is in a grand restoration process right now. He is restoring and reclaiming all things to and for himself, least of which us. And as he reclaims and restores us, he calls us to be a part of this grand restoration process, doing the very things that Jesus did. And so we believe that all of us, as followers of Jesus, we're all called to do the things that Jesus did. Okay? Paul, talking to the church in Corinth, you know, he's telling the church, he says, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. And see, Jesus is our model for ministry. He's our model for life. You want to know how to do life better? Follow Jesus. Do the things that he did. But see, he enlists us to not just sit back and punch our ticket and wait for, you know, his second coming. He wants us to be a part of the restoration process. Okay? And what did Jesus do? What are the things that he did that he tells us to do? Well, in Matthew 10:8, he tells us very clearly some of the things that he wants us to do. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, now freely give. Right? And in the book of John, Jesus again is preparing his disciples. He's preparing us. Okay? And he says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask anything, ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And so one of the things you need to know about our church is we want to be free to raise up thousands and thousands of ministers. Okay, we are not a top-down, ministry-oriented church. We do not see ministry as things that only the paid staff do. As a matter of fact, one of our mandates as pastors is to give away everything that God has given us and to raise up leaders. One of the reasons you see so many people over the last couple years leading worship is because we're taking that seriously. We want to raise up leaders, and we see it all over the church. That's our call. Everyone gets to play. And so here's the thing. Most of us would love to participate in healing ministry, in doing that. The problem is we just often feel ill-equipped. We don't feel like we have what it takes to do it, for whatever reason, okay? And so today, this morning, what I would like to do is to teach everyone here how to pray for the sick, okay? And so I'm turning you into my big classroom this morning. One of the things I get to do these days is I actually teach a class at Grand Canyon University in their worship studies department. And so I love to teach, and it's a part of kind of who I am and how I'm wired to train and to equip. And so this morning, I'm not going to be preaching about healing ministry, okay? I'm not going to be going through the theological and biblical premise for why we do what we do here at the Vineyard, okay? I'm going on an assumption, and I want all of you to believe this assumption, that God is still in the healing business, okay? He still heals. And if that's a struggle to think through and believe, then I just encourage you to place your doubts aside for a few minutes. And there are two things I would recommend for anybody that wants to explore healing in a deeper fashion. And I would encourage all of you to do this. First thing, I want to recommend a book. This is a book called Power Healing. It's written by John Wimber. John Wimber was the founder of the Vineyard Movement. And this book and this model, what we're going to be talking about today, is based on his experiences, his teaching, his study of what Jesus did, and his years of trying to do what Jesus did. And so if you are interested in learning more in depth about healing from a theological and a biblical perspective, you need to pick up that book. It's in the bookstore. The other thing I would encourage you to do is if you have not taken our ministry training classes, you will get an in-depth perspective and understanding and theological grounding of why we believe that God heals today. Okay? But I'm not going to be preaching today on healing. I'm not going to be going into the complexities of why some people get healed and some don't. Okay, I'm not going to go in. And those are important questions. We just don't have time to do that. What I want to do today is be very practical and teach you all, or remind you all, how do we pray for the sick? Okay? And so I'm assuming that you all believe that God heals. And what I want to do is I want to teach you a model that we train all of our people here at the Vineyard to pray for the sick. And we found it to be the most simplest and effective way to minister to others in practical and non-threatening ways. And that's really important to us, okay? What I hope is that we are not just praying for the sick in this building or in our midweek meetings here, or in our small groups. I hope, my encouragement, my challenge is that we would begin to take risks of praying for the sick wherever we encounter them. And in the world I live in the community, in the places I hang out, there's a lot of sick people. And we're meant to do the works of Jesus, not just here in this building, but wherever he is. And so we have a privilege, we have an incredible opportunity to, in a non-threatening and practical way, share the love of Jesus through praying for the sick, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, all right? Before we get to the model, though, I want to go through just a couple of basic things that kind of set the foundation for this model, okay? So first one, on your outlines, letter A. All believers can pray for the sick. All believers can pray for the sick. Healing ministry is accessible to all believers. At the Vineyard, we're committed to doing ministry in a way that does not draw undue attention to the platform or the person leading the ministry and draws ordinary people like you and me into practicing ministry in a method that it's accessible, that's real, and it's responsible. Okay? That's why we say everyone gets to play. As followers of Jesus, all of us can pray for the sick and do it in a simple and effective way that's not weird. That's not strange, that's not hyped, that doesn't cause people to feel just strange about it, okay? So letter A, all believers can pray for the sick. Letter B, number two, we believe in ministering in teams. See, we believe in the democratization of ministry. It's by the people, for the people, to the people, okay? When praying for someone in healing, it's often helpful to pray in teams. And so that's why we practice doing that in teams. One of the things I'd like to do is hopefully I'll have enough time to share some stories with you, but also praying in team. If you want to learn to pray for the sick, one of the best ways to learn how to pray for someone is to just tag along with somebody and learn. I can remember the very first time that I was 18 years old and I was at a conference. I was at a Vineyard conference. I'd given my life to Jesus and I was at a conference and the author of that book, John Wimber, I was actually privileged enough to be raised around him. My parents are Vineyard pastors and they were friends of the Wimbers. The Wimbers actually befriended them and took them under their wings. And so at 18 years old, I'm at a conference and John is there and I'm literally trying to like hide from everyone. I'm in the shadows, you know? And John had this knack of just pulling people out of their comfort zone. And so ministry time is happening, and he comes over to me, and I'm terrified. Like, literally, I'm like, oh, no, what's happening now? And what he does is he says, hey, Matt, come on, let's go. Let's go see what's going on. And it's a conference, and if you've been to a Vineyard conference, there are usually lots of activity. So prayer ministry is like, you know, there's lots of stuff going on. And what he did, very patiently and very calmly, we would just go over and watch somebody being prayed for, and he would just ask, hey, what do you see happening? What do you think's going on? What do you hear them saying? And, like, I'm just afraid to even speak. I'm like, I don't know, you know. And what he did was he gently started to teach me what's going on. And over the years, that has stuck with me now for 20-something years. And one of the things I love to do when I'm praying for somebody is grab somebody. Hey, you've never prayed for somebody? Some of you in this room, you've had that experience. I'm dangerous. I understand it. You sit next to me. I'm going to grab you and get you involved in ministry. But we believe in ministering in teams, okay? God, it's like a tag team sometimes. God can use and give different people certain things that we want to minister to these people, okay? So second thing we believe in is we believe in ministering in teams. All right, letter C. We believe that it is essential to honor and love the person that we're praying for. Okay? People must never be treated or used as objects for our ministry. They're not clients that we're doing things to. We're ministering to persons, not the masses, not numbers, not even conditions. And people are unique with names and faces and histories and pains, and they're to be treated with respect and dignity in any given ministry situation. And so, we minister with compassion and mercy. It's so easy to judge people. Our hearts are so easily, we can easily judge someone, particularly when we're praying for somebody who's in pain or sick or struggling. And we cannot love somebody we're judging. And so we need to minister with compassion. And so we believe in honor and love. We want to honor and love the person we're praying for above all else. That may be the only thing they get from us, and we want to make sure that they know that. All right? Along with that, letter D, we minister wholeness more than resolving the presented problem. By loving people in ministry, we bring a little wholeness to the whole person, as opposed to just merely resolving a felt need. You know, the presenting problem, it can often be a symptom of a deeper issue. You know, you start praying for somebody who has back pain, and you realize it's not just a cause for an injury, but there's something deeper going on that's causing that pain, whether it be emotional, whether it be sin, whether it be demonic. And who knows what happens? And so, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But we want to minister to people. We want holistic. God wants to restore the whole person. We don't want to just slap a Band-Aid on people. We want to minister wholeness. Okay? And so we seek to minister that they would be restored. When we're praying for somebody, we want to restore the whole person. Okay? All right. Letter E. You with me? I'm telling you, we're moving quick. You with me? Stay with me, okay? E, we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit at all times. Have you ever witnessed a good midwife in action? I have four sons, and two of our children we've had midwives for. And I can tell you, I am so thankful for those ladies. They I'm sure my wife's way more thankful than I am, but boy, they made life just so much easier for us. And they were amazing. They assist this process without getting in the way. And well, in essence, we are midwives facilitating people's experience with God, birthing what the Spirit is doing. And so we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit at all times. We want to work with God and the person, secure in the knowledge that it is only God who heals. Okay? That takes a lot of pressure off of us, doesn't it? God's the one that heals. We just want to be a midwife. We want to be a part of the process. Okay? And so we have to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Okay? Letter F. Next one on your outlines. We use disclaimer language and not absolute language. We minister by speaking to conditions just as Jesus did, not in arrogance or presumption, but in humility and honesty, with quiet confidence in God. We avoid using absolutist language, things like, you know, as if God is directly speaking. God says, this is the problem, or thus saith the Lord. Well, the Lord says, I'm going to heal you. See, that language is top down, and it's intimidating, and it leaves no room to be corrected. And I can tell you there are times when I got it wrong praying for someone. I went with a gut thing, and I got it wrong. And if I used absolutist language, there would have been no room for correction. See, disclaimer language is, I sense the Lord is saying this. I feel God is doing thus. I see a picture, and then we ask questions. Does that actually make sense to you, or is that just last night's dinner speaking to me? Does this ring a bell? And see, the thing is, God does speak to us in the moment. Okay, He will speak to us. He will direct us how we're meant to pray. But we leave room for correction. We leave room to engage people. Okay, it includes and invites, and it leaves the door open to being misheard or misinterpreting what God's saying. In short, we must be real and simple, not religious, not hyped, not complicated, both in our words as well as in our style of ministry. Okay? You with me so far? We good? All right. So with those things in place, let's look at these five steps, these very basic steps that we take when we are looking to pray for someone who is sick. Okay? And often these steps, they kind of overlap each other and move back into, you know, it's not like, okay, you know, it's not like a board where you step one, we do this, and then step two, you know, and they often overlap, all right? So the first step, step one, is the interview. It's a good idea, if you're praying for somebody that you've never met, to actually introduce yourself, right? Sounds silly, sounds simple, but oftentimes it is a very intimidating situation, and so it's often a good thing to just introduce yourself. Hey, my name is Matt. Can I pray for you? Would that be all right? I actually had a situation in a guitar shop, a guitar repair shop this week. You know, you prepare for weeks to talk about praying for the sick, and then all of a sudden everybody you meet is sick. And you're like, well, shoot, I'm going to be standing in front of a few thousand people. I better, you know, be on this. And so I see the guy's hand is all taped up with that, you know, special tape that helps for circulation. And so I just meet him, and I ask him, hey, what's going on? I see your hands taped up. What's that about? And people, this guy actually loves to talk. And so I got the whole story. He played hockey and, you know, all this stuff. And all inside of me, at first, I just was trying to make conversation. I realized God is telling me I got to pray for this guy. And so I'm trying to interview. Hey, what hurts? What's going on? You know, now I'm not in church. I'm not in, you know, a situation. I don't know if this guy's a Christian or not or anything like that. You know, I'm not actually going to ask him what he wants prayer for. Simply, I just want to be personal and say, hey, what's going on? What hurts? And then, you know, the store is empty, and I'm like, I got like 30 seconds, right? I got 30 seconds, so I'm going to go for it. I, like, finally muster up the courage, you know, Mr. Faith, right? I'm, like, wanting to run out. And I'm like, well, hey, I know this is going to maybe sound a little bit strange, but I'm actually a pastor. I know I don't look like it. I know I like guitars and things. I'm a pastor. And one of the things I know is that God loves people, and he loves to heal. Would you mind right now if I prayed for you really quickly? And so he might have said yes. I just went for it, you know. I was like, I got a shot. You know, I saw a car pulling in. I'm like at 15th. I was like, God, I know you love Harry, and I just pray right now that you'd heal his hand. You'd restore every motion that he has, and this carpal tunnel would stop bothering him right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then somebody came in. I'm like, hey, man, good to see you. I'm out. I'll see you soon, you know. But we interview people. When we want to pray, we say, hey, is it okay if I pray for you? What hurts? We're simply getting very basic information. What do you want God to do? What's your specific need? Where does it hurt? This is not a medical, you're not a doctor. I mean, some of you may be a doctor, and that's good. Use those skills. I'm not a doctor. So this is not a medical, you know, interview. And I want them to be brief. This is not a chance for them to start chatting. It's not a chance for them to kind of list a litany of complaints. It is not a counseling situation for you. This is not a point for you. Oh, you got a bad knee? Oh, my gosh. My knee. 10 years ago, I had such a problem. It's not that. We're there to minister to them. And so we want basic information. What's the problem? What do you want God to do for you? How long have you had this? When did it start happening? Have you seen a doctor? Has a doctor diagnosed it? Did anything happen at the start of this? Is this inherited? Is this something that, you know, is genetic? Is there family history? And I also ask this very simple question, hey, do you want to be well? And I know that sounds kind of like a silly question to ask, but people that have been dealing with chronic illness, it becomes such a part of their identity that it's just ingrained, the thought that we can never receive healing or a measure of healing. And so I just simply ask them, hey, do you want to be made? I believe God wants to heal you. Do you want to be made well? And they just agree with that. Okay, and these are very simple questions, very simple things. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to listen on both the natural plane and the supernatural. Because we need God to speak to us. Okay? It's God who heals. It's God who directs us. And so I'm listening to the person that's speaking, and I'm asking God all the time, hey, what's the root? Because I want to pray for the root cause. I want to get right, very specific. Okay, and that leads us to step two, which is the diagnostic decision. Okay, the diagnosis. This is where I've interviewed them, and I'm trying to figure out a strategy. I'm trying to get to the root cause. Okay, what's the root cause? Is this natural? Is it an accident or a disease? You know, is this illness caused by sin? That happens, and God will speak to you. And when that happens, it helps us because we know that not only am I going to pray for the person to be well, but I might just lead them in a simple prayer of confession. Hey, God wants to forgive you of that. And before we move to praying for this condition, you might just need to ask God to forgive you right now. And we just simply go through that, okay? Is this illness because of emotional hurts? You know, people can go through very traumatic experiences, and all of a sudden, all of these physical things start to happen. Okay? And so we want to get to the, is it caused by relational problems? Do you know that unforgiveness in our hearts, harbored long enough, can actually have physical reactions and problems in our hearts, in our lives? Conditions can start to creep up because we harbor this grudge for years and years of unforgiveness. And so we're seeking to get to the root problem. Because whatever the root problem is, that's what we're going to pray for first. Remember, we're wanting to minister wholeness. Okay? Is this supernatural? Is it demonic? That happens. And so we want to be able to get to the root cause. Okay? And then there are always, often the times, where we have no idea. And it's okay. Here's the thing I want you to know. God wants that person to be healed more than you do. And so you just need to be honest with them. You know what? I have no idea how I'm supposed to pray, but I know God does, and so we're just going to invite him. Okay? Just be honest. Keep your integrity. You know, it's so easy to think that we have to have it all figured out. And the reality is, God is here with us. Really, what we need is him to respond, and so we just want to be a part of it. And so just be honest if you don't know. You know what? I don't know what the root cause is, but Jesus does, and so let's invite him to come, and we're going to pray for him. And this leads us to step three, okay? Step three is our prayer selection. Based on that root cause, if we actually have an inkling from the Lord or from that conversation, what we're going to pray for, this is going to dictate what's the prayer strategy that we're going to use. How? What kind of prayer am I going to pray for this person? What does God want to do at this particular time? See, God's will is to heal, but it's not always on our timetable, okay? And so the secret to healing prayer is being in agreement with God. What's God's will at that moment? Okay, Jesus even said, I can only do what the Father is doing. And so we seek to do what the Father is doing. Okay? Again, we need to ask the Lord, would you show me how to pray? Show me how to pray. Okay? And often, what I find is God will give us words right in that process. As we're one ear to the person and one ear to the Spirit, God will give us words, pictures, ideas, and we have to, in that, again, thinking of the interview and the diagnostic decision, I'm asking questions because I want to get to the root, okay? Now, the thing is, do not assume that all sickness is either sin-related or demonic. Sometimes people are just sick, okay? We're not like Van Helsing's where we go, you know, looking for stuff, all right? Let me tell you this, when the power of God shows up, light and darkness do not exist together. And you will know what to do. And I'm just going to say this. You know, if something happens, when the Spirit of God comes, you know, there's lots of different things that happen. There are physical manifestations, and that's okay. Sometimes nothing, you don't have anything, and that's all right as well. But if you are to encounter something, you know, God is strong. Jesus is with you. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. And so we either rebuke that, stop it right now. We maybe this is not the place to kind of do serious business, and you just pray peace over that person. You shut things down. I'm going to bind that up. Just, or, you know, you need to expel that in the name of Jesus. Spirit of affliction, spirit of fear, get out. And they often name themselves, by the way, when you're praying for somebody. But here's the thing, that person usually doesn't know what's happening. And so, again, we're trying to minister love and mercy and wholeness to that person. And oftentimes when somebody is getting, you know, if it's, you know, there's a physical thing going on, I'll just ask them, hey, look at me for a second. What's happening? You okay? Oh, it's good? This is God? Great, let's keep going. Oh, you started it, it's like fear. I can remember praying for somebody and all of a sudden just they just had this cold sense of fear over them. Well, I said, all right, well, I know what to pray for. Spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. You are not welcome here. Let the peace of God come. And so we ask God to direct our prayers, right? Again, those don't happen all the time. But when we're starting out, when you're starting out to pray, what I would encourage you to do is be very specific, okay? Speak directly to the condition, to the pain, to the problem, based on your diagnosis, based on the problem that's presented, okay? Pray what God gives you, nothing more and nothing less, all right? Couple of things, sidebar, basics of praying for people, all right? We obviously want to introduce ourselves. When we're going to pray for somebody, you need to position yourself in front of them, and you need to ask if it's all right for you to place your hands on them. That is a very vulnerable thing for people. You know, we assume in church culture that everybody gets why we lay hands. But the case is, a lot of people I pray for, that is a totally foreign thing. And it's scary. And if we do those kind of things without asking permission, you can shut off everything that's going on right there. They're just turned off. And we don't want that. We want them to be open. And so you simply ask, hey, would it be okay? The Bible, Jesus tells us when we pray for people, we're meant to just lay on hands. Is that okay? And if they don't want you to do that, it's not ruining the process. Okay? And when it comes to praying for people of the other opposite sex, like I will rarely place my hands on another, you know, on a female, because I have no idea what that might trigger. As a matter of fact, my wife and I often pray for people. We pray in teams. If there's a female on the team, they'll place their hands on their shoulder, and I might just place my hand on theirs. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter necessarily whether, you know, it's not going to break whether God is going to heal them or not, okay? But we need to ask for permission. Okay, along those lines, when we start to pray for somebody, we need to invite the Holy Spirit, okay? We should be praying all the time in our spirit. You know, we invite the Holy Spirit to come and to minister to this person. We call it dialing down in the vineyard. You know, we want to dial down. I want to empty myself of all the different things that are going on, and I need the Spirit to lead me. And so I dial down, and I pray beneath, you know, in tongues, but quietly. I don't, you know, again, that will freak somebody out if they're not familiar with that. But I want the Spirit to lead me. I need you to tell me exactly what to pray right now, because I got nothing. Apart from you, I've got nothing, and I need you to pray. I need you to lead, okay? So we dial down. Pray with your eyes open. That's another one. I know that seems strange. You need to see what's going on. You need to watch what's happening. It's going to help you minister to those people. I have to out myself right now. I was at a conference one time. And I was being prayed for, a very, very nice gentleman, lots of zeal, wanted to pray for me. So after a few moments, we started praying, and he put his hand on my chest and put his head down and went like a million miles an hour and just started. Actually, he didn't touch. He started praying. And his eyes are closed, and I'm standing there, and I'm not a very nice person sometimes, I got to be honest. All I can think of doing was, this guy's actually just, I don't feel like I'm being ministered to. And so I have to admit to you, I'm very embarrassed about this, but I just walked away. I walked off. Now my wife, seeing this happen, you know, rebukes me, rightly so. But here's the thing, I didn't feel like there was any connection at that point. And I'm sorry that is so, I'm, I'm, This is like my personal counseling in front of thousands of people, all right? Pray with your eyes open. You might actually tell the person you're praying for, you know what, it's better for you to close your eyes. You don't have to. I prayed for somebody the other day. He kept his eyes open. It was kind of a funny moment where I'm praying for him. He's staring at me. I'm staring at him. You know, it's okay. But I'm like, hey, you might want to just block out all the distractions. Close your eyes, okay? But keep your eyes open. You need to see what the Spirit is doing. I've seen people praying for people with their eyes closed, and that person tumbles over. You know, the Spirit of God comes, and they fall to the ground. Well, the person praying has no idea that they're on the ground. Pray with your eyes open. I know that sounds like I'm making a joke, but it's very serious. Pray with your eyes open, okay? It's okay. It's important. You need to see what's happening, okay? Along those lines, speak in a normal voice. You know, we have this propensity to think that, like, when we pray, we need to be like Charlton Heston or, you know, James Earl, you know, Darth Vader shows up, and now God says, you know. No, pray in a normal voice, all right? We learn so many things culturally that we need to kind of do away with because none of that stuff matters, okay? None of it matters. The focus is not on you. You're not being judged by your performance, okay? And so, just be yourself. Introduce yourself. Ask if it's okay to lay hands on them. Invite God's presence. Keep your eyes open. Be very specific. Speak to the condition. Oftentimes, when you start praying for that condition, other things start to happen. And you're like, is that me? No, it's probably God. You need to take a risk. And you ask questions. Remember, hey, I'm getting this sense that you having trouble sleeping? Oh, yeah. Really? What did that come from? And so we deal with those issues as they come up, and we pray for them. Again, ministering wholeness. Okay? Be yourself. Keep your eyes open. Speak in a normal voice. Okay? It's not about us. All right. Back to our model. All right? We've got our prayer strategy. We're going to go for it. Step four is we're praying for people, and again, we're trying to figure out how things are going. How are things going? This consists of praying and further interview. What is God doing? I might ask after a few minutes, hey, is God doing anything? What's happening right now? You know, you might see stuff happening, or you might not. Don't be fooled. You know, the Holy Spirit's work is mainly internal, not external. Okay? And so sometimes you might think nothing is happening. This person's having a profound experience with the Spirit of God. And so we ask, because we need that information. Hey, look at me for a second. You feeling anything? You know, we started out, you had like pain in your knee. Is it still there? Oh, it's gotten worse? Okay, well, let's keep praying. You know, that happens. I've had that happen. I promise you. I prayed for people and they got sicker, so you may not want me to pray for you. I'm just kidding. But we keep praying. We keep praying. We keep figuring out what is going on. What do we need to do? We keep our eyes open. We keep asking. We look. We ask God questions. God, what's happening right now? Would you please let me know? Okay? And so this is our prayer direction. This is our engagement. We're praying for people. We're asking them what's happening. You know, the fun ones are when there's like instantaneous healing and you know what's happening because they're freaked out. I can tell you when I was... I was a pastor of a vineyard church. My wife and I lived in England for 4 years, and we were the assistant pastors, and one of my responsibilities was to teach the Alpha course, which is a 10-week course where the whole group is based to non-Christians. They come and they have dinner together, and then each week you basically teach the gospel, and you teach different aspects of Christianity, different values. And I had to teach the week that God heals. And it's one thing to teach about healing, and I just knew that God wanted to demonstrate, which is actually I believe he's going to do today, by the way. We're going to get there. But it was one thing to teach about healing. It's another thing to demonstrate. And so I had to take this risk. There's a bunch of non-Christians in this room I've been preaching, and so I asked, okay, who needs prayer at the end of this? I tell them, it's one thing to hear about healing. It's another thing to see it. Well, there was a gentleman in the group named Steve who was born I don't remember the condition, but it was a condition that caused him. He walked with like, he had to have like 2-inch heels on one of his shoe to be able to walk correctly, okay? And I know this, and so I know I got to pray for this guy. Like, this is, like, all day I'm like, you know, I know I'm supposed to pray for him. And so nobody kind of pipes up, and I said, well, Steve, can we pray for you? You know, I'm terrified, by the way. I'm terrified because I'm going to look like an idiot. I have just told everyone that God heals, and now we're going to, and I've got to take the risk, and I'm going to look foolish because nothing's going to happen. Yeah, Mr. Man of Faith, right? So Steve graciously says yes. So we sit him in a chair, and we have him stick out his feet, and I, for whatever reason, I tell everyone to gather around. I'm like, you know, I'm like, did I just tell people to, I'm like, in my head, I'm having this inner dialogue, like, I want to run, right? And so I just say, listen, I believe Jesus loves you, Steve, and he wants to correct this problem, so we're just going to invite him to come. And he's got, I've got his feet in my hands. And I'm shaking, like I am now, you know, thinking about this moment. And we just start to pray for him. And I'm not even kidding when I tell you, like, within moments, we just see this heel that's 2 inches longer. You know, his feet are now like this, but then he's got this heel. And I'm, like, more blown away than everyone in the room, you know. They're like, well, you just told us this happens. We believe it, right? I'm like, I remember calling my wife, like, running out of the room, like, Becca, you're not going to believe what just happened, you know. And those are the good ones. What happened? You know, those are great. Those stories are wonderful. And so how do you know when to stop praying for somebody? This leads us to our fifth point, okay? How do you know when to stop praying? Well, it's cool to stop praying when that person's healed. Like, sure, right? We rejoiced. I mean, the whole room just kind of like was blown away. I was, you know? And so we just prayed peace and we prayed, thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for loving Steve. I think he became a Christian that night. I mean, it's a pretty easy thing after God does something like that for you to believe that he's real, right? We stop praying when maybe the Spirit impresses upon us it's time to stop, right? We stop praying when that person you're praying for looks at their watch, you know. You stop praying when you've got nothing else to pray for, right? I mean, it's just natural stuff, okay? Step 5, though, the last one, is the post-prayer direction. What do we tell people after we've prayed for them? Well, when someone's healed, it's a really fun conversation to have with them, right? I mean, not that the others are harder, but, you know, Jesus tells people, you know, we ask him for wisdom. God, give us wisdom. What should we say? How do we want to do it? Again, we're not counseling anyone. If someone's been healed, you know, Jesus told somebody that he healed, now go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Live free. Tell, you know, we live in a time where Jesus used to say, hey, don't tell anybody what's happened to you. You know, keep it under wraps because my time has not yet come. Well, go and tell people that God has done something for you. Get involved in the church. Go see a doctor, by the way. We are not physicians. If you've been healed and you have an issue that, you know, you're taking medication for or something, go let the doctor tell you that he has no idea why this isn't happening anymore. Let him verify that. Jesus sends the cleansed lepers to the Pharisees, didn't he? Hey, go present yourself. Do what the culture tells you to do. Don't ever advise somebody to stop taking medication. Tell them to go to the doctor, even at that moment. Hey, God's healed? Go line up at the doctor right now. We're going to celebrate this, but let him tell you what to do, okay? Because we're not doctors, all right? That makes sense? Get involved in your local church. God's healed. What better way to give back to Jesus than to start serving him? You should certainly start praying for the sick as well. That's a fun thing to see happen. Now, what happens when you've prayed for somebody and they're not healed? Okay? This happens too. We encourage them. The thing that we want to make sure that they know is that God loves them. Okay? This has nothing to do with whether God loves you or not. He loves you. Encourage them to seek more prayer, long-term prayer. I actually stand before you right now. For the last 5 years, I have had some serious hip issues. Years and years of sports. I played college baseball. And I grew up in New York City where you play every sport all year round, 365 days, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, you name it, on concrete. And about at 36 years old, I got really old overnight. And so I went to the doctors and found out that I have no cartilage in either of my hips. And so I can remember it was October 2010. We were doing a conference here, a worship conference. Burn Bright, I think it was called. And Eleanor Mumford, one of our wonderful friends, Ellie is here. And I said, hey, I'm having hip hop issues. I don't know. And so she enlists. Tom Quaid was standing there, Pastor Tom. And I told him I would never share this story. But again, this is just like, you know, this is how we roll. So I'm going to tell you. So Ellie, in pure Ellie fashion, says, Tom, put your hands on his hips. And so we had this awkward moment right here where Pastor Tom is like slapping his hands on my hips. And we're standing there kind of looking at each other. I'm like, you know, maybe I'll close my eyes this time, you know. Right? And we start praying. And we so honestly, I have been prayed for consistently for 5 years. And actually in 10 days, I am going to go in and have hip replacement surgery. Because God uses doctors. I'm okay with it. Whether it be a miracle or whether it be a doctor, I know that he wants me to be well. I know he loves me. Okay? And so if you're here and you're dealing with a chronic illness, you've been prayed for over and over again, I want to encourage you, keep getting prayer. And when you pray for someone who is not instantly healed, then you need to just let them know that God loves them. Okay? Keep getting prayer. Come up. The reason why we have a ministry team here every week is because we love to pray for people because we believe it matters. Don't give up. Okay? Don't give up. I'm going to be prayed for the next 10 days. Whether it be the doctor or a miracle, I'm cool with it, right? Don't give up. Here's the number one thing. The number one goal of all prayer is to make that person feel loved by God, okay? You with me? Good. And so we believe that we are called as followers of Jesus to do the works and the ministry of Jesus. And we're committed to seeing God's kingdom come and to see him heal people. Our challenge is to take the risk. Okay? And we're going to do that right now. Okay? I know that we've got a few minutes left. But just, Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you here. You are welcome here above all else. I pray for faith right now. Pray for faith. And here's what I'd like us to do. All right? If you are sick in any way, I would like you to stand right where you are right now. Just stand. Okay? There's people all over the room. Amen. All right, I want us to put the 5 steps back up on the board, okay? Here's what we're going to do. All around this room, there are many people standing up. I'm commissioning every person that's sitting right now to be on the ministry team today, okay? Here's what I want you to do. We don't have a lot of time, so you got to be brief. But I want two or three people to stand around, to go to every, actually get up right now. Two or three people stand up and go to these people. Now, those that are wanting prayer, put your hand up so that we know that everyone has a person in this room to pray for. There's a lot of people, so come on, you guys. I'm telling you, you got to get up right now and pray for people. Let's do this. This is what the church does. It's not about you, so don't worry. Kids, you can go and pray for people as well. All right? Come on, we got a lot of people. If you don't have anybody praying for you, keep your hand up. Okay, come on, get out of your seats. Let's do this. Come on. There's some people with their hands up over here. If you're sitting in this section, come on, guys. Maybe if there's three of you, one of you needs to move over. Okay, we got a lot of people standing up. Okay, keep your hand up. Come on, we got a few more people still with their hands up. If you have somebody praying next to you, put your hand down, okay? We're looking for people that don't have somebody right now. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Follow the steps. Introduce yourself, ask him what the problem is, and then speak directly to that condition. Okay? Go for it. This is how we're going to end our services tonight. There's still some people with their hands up. And remember, keep your eyes open. Minister to them. Ask God to speak. And this is how we're going to end our services this morning. If you still have your hand up and you have no one praying for you, come on down the front and we'll pray for you down here.